In your Bible, please, Leviticus chapter 4. We arrive at the fourth chapter of Leviticus because of our continued study of Christ in the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You remember that this book of Leviticus sets forth God's provision of acceptable access to Himself. This access is by way of atonement, covering, kafar. The blood of the sacrifices was put over the sin. And thus, there was access into God's presence because of that provision of covering. All of those sins that are covered through the Levitical system were unintentional sins. Thus, there was mercy available. For intentional sin, no mercy. Instead of a covering, those who continued in willful disobedience were cut off. That meant they could be disciplined and thus have no access to worship through the Levitical system of the true and the living God. Or it could even bring the ultimate discipline, the sentence of death. And so for unintentional sin, a provision of covering, mercy. Intentional sin, no mercy, justice, cut off. We have been looking at the four major offerings or sacrifices in the Levitical system. The first being the burnt offering, with its emphasis on the completeness of the sacrifice. It needed to be consumed and carried off outside the camp. The peace offering, the emphasis on conciliation. That which was ruined through sin has a process of restoration. The peace offering provided that there would no longer be hostility between a holy God and His people. This morning we arrive at the third of the four major offerings, the sin offering. And this offering has for its emphasis a correction. What was wrong is now made right. There is forgiveness. The covering provided forgiveness mercifully. The last of the offerings that we will be looking at is the trespass offering, with its emphasis on the price, the cost. There was recompense. As we look this morning at chapter 4, I'm beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering." Sin can be simply understood as anything, word, thought, deed, that opposes the character and conduct of God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. Anything And so the Levitical system provided the way in which access was available unto a holy God, even though there had been opposition, even though there had been hostility, even though there had been disobedience. Sin, anything, word, thought, deed, that opposes the character and conduct of God as he has revealed himself in his word. The sin offering. If a person, any individual, commits sin unintentionally, there's a provision. If the priest committed any sin unintentionally, there's a provision. Look at verse 13. If the whole congregation of Israel sin unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for the sin and bring it before the tabernacle of the meeting, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. Then the bull shall be killed before the Lord. Remember, I've shared with you that there are elements consistent in all of the offerings. The first is that God himself has provided, he's made the provision available, the sacrificial system. The sacrifices that are to be offered up are to be perfect. You hold nothing back. This is a sacrifice unto the Lord. It is a sacrifice that one bringing must personally identify with, and that was done through laying hands on the head of the offering, of the sacrifice. It is a sacrifice that provides protection, atonement, covering. And it is an offering, a sacrifice, as it was offered up as a sweet aroma, was well-pleasing to the Lord. God's provision, perfect, personally identified with, a provision of protection, and as the offering was given, it was pleasing to the Lord. The sin offering, here in verse 13 through 15, has those elements, and it is for the sins of the whole congregation. Nobody's left out. As we again know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 20. And he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do it. So the priest shall make atonement, covering, make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. The sin offering places a tremendous emphasis on the forgiveness. Then he shall carry the bull outside the camp, burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. When a ruler has sinned, individual, priest, whole congregation, a ruler has sinned and done something unintentionally against any of the commandments that the Lord is God, of the Lord his God, in anything which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Look at verse 27. If any one of the common people sins, you'll notice that the sin offering doesn't leave anyone out. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring as an offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. Remember, we've seen the emphasis on the fat, that which gives flavor, the aroma that is unto the Lord, not to be consumed, but to be offered up. For a sweet aroma to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. If he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar, of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. Then the priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement, a covering for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. The Levitical system is God's provision of acceptable access to himself. David realized the significance and importance of the Levitical system. Come with me to Psalm 32. Previously in our studies, we looked at Psalm 51, that crying out for mercy, because David knew that what he had done was a personal affront to the Lord, and it was intentional. Thus, no mercy provided. The Levitical system didn't provide a sacrifice for intentional sin. As we arrive at Psalm 32, David is giving thanks for the provision of mercy. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The Levitical system made that provision. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Not held accountable because the provision of mercy has been applied. Come on over to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. Gracious, Hebrew word, same as our word for gracious in the Greek New Testament. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. The Levitical system, the provision of acceptable access to God. God mercifully is covering the sins committed. We arrive at the New Testament, the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile. Going over to Acts chapter 2. Our Lord has entered into human experience. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His performance is superior to the provision of the Levitical system. Peter's preaching, verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. The master plan of Messiah is now manifest. Remember, everything that was promised in the Old Testament was preparation for the promised one. He is present in the New Testament. The Messiah, the anointed, he has come and he has performed what he did, gave evidence to the fact that he is indeed the long-awaited promised one, the Messiah. Wonders, signs, miracles. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Jesus was not a victim. It's finished. He was a victor. And that victory was secured before the foundation of the world. In the council of the Godhead, there was a predetermined plan put in place that the Son would step down into human experience. For what purpose? To restore all that was lost through sin. He's come. You witnessed his being here. But in accordance with the eternal plan of God, you took and crucified. It was not an accident. It was predetermined. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. The death penalty was enacted, although it was enacted unjustly. But the death penalty was enacted. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in the grave in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah, the anointed, the Christ, to sit on his throne. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Through the loins of David would come one who would sit on the throne of David, the anointed of God. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the anointed, the Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Day of Pentecost, what's going on? There were Jews from all over the world. There were Gentile proselytes who had come to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Spirit of God moved mightily. The Spirit of God was poured out. And the preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit was that Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised up, and he is the provision that provides access to the true and the living God. Jews, Gentile proselytes, are now hearing that which is preached. They are hearing how the Word of God is being fulfilled. The Spirit of God is working. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ." He's sovereign. He's the sovereign sent son. Remember the whole book of Hebrews? Sovereign son. Sent. Sin bearer. Seated. It's done. David had prophesied the plan of redemption. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's conviction. "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" As the Spirit of God moves in conviction, he also carries one to faith. Then Peter said, "Repent. You need a change. Everything you thought you knew about the anointed, canceled. There's a change that needs to take place in your thinking and in your hearts, to the depths of your being, that will change your commitment. No longer to the Levitical system. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized. You need to change. You need a new commitment. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ concerning the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Baptism does not forgive, does not remit, take away sins. Peter is saying, when they cried out in conviction, what should we do? You need change. And you need a commitment to him. And that commitment is by way of identification through baptism, his death, burial, and resurrection. And when that takes place, God gives his Spirit. God takes you into his family, and you are now a child of God. Everything's changed. Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Turn over to chapter 5. They were faithfully preaching. They were put in prison. First rock concert that we have recorded in human history. The very foundation of the prison was shaken. Happened with Peter, happened with Paul. It's the first rock concert. They were praising God. And God brought them out. And now they're cowering. They're hiding. No. They're in the midst of the people proclaiming Christ. Verse 25. So one came and told them, that is the high priest and the captain of the temple guard, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, don't you remember, didn't we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now I want to caveat, sidebar. The scriptures are very clear that God has raised up all authority and placed us under his sovereign rule. At times it may look as though it is not of God, but it is, because God has a plan. And as much as you think you have it figured out, you ain't, and neither do I. But he has a perfect plan. And part of that plan is the providing of peacefulness under government. And the born-again Christian is responsible to submit to the will of God. This is God's doing. One exception, only one. If those in authority, and here, of course, it is the authority of the religious establishment, they have power by the civil authority as well, to stop the preaching of the good news of Christ. If, in fact, the authority says you cannot proclaim Christ, you stand against that. You obey God, not man. But that's the only out. Other than that, especially Republicans, you suffer. No. Except that we experience the sufferings in this life. For what purpose? To trust him. Not to try to control what he is controlling. Trust him. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. the Levitical system covered over. It covered up sin. Our Lord's sacrifice carries it away. Totally cleansed. Gone. This was the message that was being preached. Chapter 10. Reading from verse 36. Peter, the night before, had a pepperoni pizza. He had heartache and headache and bellyache. He was having all kinds of problems. And he was given a vision about food. And basically, the vision was about him partaking of that which God, under the Levitical system, had said, you don't partake of. It's unclean. But God had a showing that God has a plan. And what man, under the Levitical system, would consider unclean, God is using. And so he is given, through that vision, instruction to go to the house of a Gentile. Whoa! Can't do that. You go. Why? I have a purpose. He goes to Cornelius' house. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. He's the final standard by which one has access into the presence of the true and the living God. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the carrying away, the remission of sins. Acts chapter 13. Verse 26, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them. God has a master plan, the master plan of Messiah, that he is unfolding in his time schedule. They condemned him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should put him to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him up, raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses to the people. And we declare to you the good news, the glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, the Abrahamic covenant, the promise that through the seed of Abraham, all peoples, Jew, Gentile, all nations, would experience the blessings of God. How would that be? Through the anointed, through the Messiah, through his death, burial and resurrection through his sacrifice. God has fulfilled this in your for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. It is also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today have I brought you forth, begotten you." And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Therefore, he also says in another psalm, Psalm 16, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness, the carrying away, the remission of sins. And that by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Levitical system. It provided acceptable access to the true and living God. How? By mercy. Regarding unintentional sins. No mercy for intentional sins. The consequences? Justice. Cut off. Death. But in the sacrifice of our Lord, his sacrifice carries away through the cleansing blood. And thus, God declares justice has been satisfied. That's why we purposefully do not sing about being pardoned. A pardon is merciful. But justice is not served with the pardon. The penalty hasn't been enacted. But the penalty for sin was enacted at the cross of Calvary. And thus, we're not pardoned, we're justified. We are declared in a right relationship with him through the blood, not covering, through the blood. That is God's mercy provided, propitiation, but it is the cleansing and carrying away by that blood of our sins that brings justification. Our time is gone this morning. We'll see, Lord willing, next week more of what it truly means to be justified, cleansed of our sins, carried away from us, so that there is no cause for judgment to fall on us, because judgment has already fallen on our substitute, our sin offering. Father, we thank you this morning once again by way of your Holy Spirit to reveal to us the greatness of our God, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of our God. To be the just and the justifier, so that those who are in Christ Jesus have no judgment to face, only to look into the face of he who took our judgment, for which we are and will be eternally grateful to his eternal praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.